This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's Friday, and that means it's Brewers Outlet Day. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Tailgate time. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, my two personal favorites, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we get the show off with a bang by bringing in the best in the business, Phil Steele. Phil, welcome. It is always great to hear you on the other end with all the great info and the fact that you're just one of the great guys out there.
I appreciate that, Steve. Hey, we're talking during the regular season. How about that?
See, this is what I prefer. You know, we can do a great job because I always want to promote the publications. But you are a 24/7 guy in season and out. So getting your perspective in season, invaluable. And with that, I want to start with Texas. They went to Michigan. They won that game. They made a statement right away. What is the, you know, we're seeing it with Arch Manning at quarterback with Ewers, and Ewers will eventually be back. But what's the overall depth of this team that makes them an impressive contender?
Well, I think when you look at them defensively, I was a little concerned. They lost their two defensive tackles from last year, but they've played well up front. Really shut down Michigan's run game, held them to 80 yards rushing in the game. That was probably my biggest concern on the defense. The back seven looks solid. And offensively, you were concerned when they lost a couple of running backs prior to the year, who was going to take charge. But Jarrett Gibson was one of my top freshmen coming out of high school. He's already got 178 yards rushing. They're deep at receiver. I love Isaiah Bond, Ryan Wingo, Gunnar Helm, and the offensive line is one of the best in the country. So as long as that defensive line came along, which it has, I do think they are one of the most talented teams in the country.
Because that is still the bread and butter for Michigan, running the football. And the fact that they could keep them to a low number like that tells me something about not just what they're doing up front, but it also tells me about their speed defensively.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I don't think there was anybody questioning the back seven. The main yes. question was probably the defensive front, but they held up well against Michigan. I thought outplayed them the majority of the game.
Now, Michigan, on the other hand, Davis Warren, the former walk-on, had been the starter. It's always been my understanding, Phil, that he was a better practice player. But Alex Orji is going to get the start this week, and Orji at least will put more jump into a pretty good running game. Mullings had 155 last week. What do you think of Michigan, especially with this matchup with USC this week?
Yeah, I think we're going to learn a lot about Michigan this week. And keep in mind, I'm here. Jack Tuttle's healthy and ready to go. And if that's the case, I had the feeling listening to him in August that Tuttle was probably the guy they preferred to go with at the quarterback spot to run their full offense. But Orji gives them a different offense. His mobility, I think, is going to be tough for USC to manage. And if that offensive line can finally start playing, you know, you heard from the Michigan folks in the month of August, hey, we lost all five offensive linemen, but this line's going to be pretty good, pretty close. They haven't really been there yet this year. They did run for 300 yards last week against Arkansas State, but that's hardly USC. I think Danton Lynn's defenses at UCLA were amazing last year, and same thing here at USC. I think this could be a fun game to watch where we learn about both teams.
Yeah, no question. I think there's a lot to learn here because, you know, Danton Lynn, obviously, I know he started here at Penn State. Dad was a fine coach in the NFL. But that's been the big difference in this team. What is USC doing defensively with him that they couldn't do with Alex Grinch.
Well, they're tackling, which is something they didn't do last year. That's the one thing that jumps out at me when I'm watching tape of USC is that they're tackling a lot better. But I think the schemes are better, and they brought in a bunch of different players. I thought they brought in, what, 9 different transfers. The majority of them are starting on the defensive side of the ball, including a couple of guys from UCLA. So I think it's an upgrade in talent, tackling better, and just an overall better scheme on the defensive side of the ball. I was never overwhelmed with the previous defensive coordinator, even going back to his days at Ohio State.
Agreed. No, and then now Miller Moss had the big bowl game. I thought played pretty well against LSU. What do you like about him as a quarterback?
I love, first of all, that he was patient, you know, and waited his time, stayed in the same system, especially for a guy like Lincoln Riley. You play for Lincoln Riley and you're the starting quarterback, you're going to be a Heisman contender at the end of the year. So I love the fact he stayed, didn't transfer, and it's proven true to form. This guy knows the offense as good as anybody on the team. He's been there forever, and I think he has all the physical attributes you want, and he's got Lincoln Riley as his coach. So add it all up, I think he'll be one of the best quarterbacks in the country at the end of the year.
Yeah, and they've always had the skilled people with Lincoln Riley there. Mark's the running back, not a bad player. I mean, McGree, right? I'm a big Zachariah. I mean, I know in the return game, Branch to me is a difference maker. What's your thoughts on their skilled people right now to go with Moss?
You know, and it was I thought at the start of spring, one of my biggest concerns was the depth they had at receiver. They had basically 3 guys you really liked, and you're like, well, what else do they have? And then, you know, talking to Coach Riley, they bring in a Kyle Ford from UCLA. They bring in from Auburn, Jay Fair. They bring in Jaden Richardson from Division III. And I felt like the backups were better. But the Branch Hudson, Lemon, Robinson duo, you know, they're strong at tight end as well. They've got plenty of talent there. And then, as you touched on, Woody Marks has done well at running back. I think the offensive line playing them better, though, has also been a key factor. You look at the fact they've only allowed 2 sacks this year. They're averaging 5.3 yards per carry. That points a finger that we're getting better play out of the offensive line.
Yeah, no question about that. Penn State's had the 2 games so far, West Virginia on the road, then, of course, the Bowling Green game. Just some quick thoughts on what you think of the Nittany Lions to this point. It's only a 2-game sample size.
You had to be very impressed with the West Virginia game. I thought that the touchdown right before the half was massive. It was a game. It was 14-6. But, you know, every time I talked to Gil Brandt, bless his heart, and God bless him, I should say, Gil would always say, you score right before the half, and that's a different game in the second half. And that's exactly what the Penn State game was. That the touchdown right before the half was huge. I thought Penn State dominated the second half. Now, naturally, in a letdown spot, they played Bowling Green. Surprised Bowling Green could put up 286 yards in the first half. Not so surprised that Penn State held them 100 yards in the second half when they came to play. So I think Penn State is one of the top teams in the country. I had them top 5 at the start of the year. I like what I see out of Drew Allar at the quarterback spot. He's hitting 65% with a 5-1 ratio. Singleton and Allen finally have regained their explosiveness of 2 years ago, which I think really helps the offense. And they're getting decent play out of the receivers. Still not an overwhelming unit, but I like what I see out of Tyler Warren so far. So I think this is a very good Penn State team. They're going to really be, I'm looking forward to that test at USC when that comes up on October the 12th. That's going to be a big game. And that'll let us know whether they're capable of beating Ohio State at home when they get them on November the 2nd.
Right. And it's interesting because this is something I did bring up with James Franklin on his show Thursday night. I asked him about Singleton and Allen, not as running backs, but how they performed in the pass game. Because Allen has a touchdown catch already. Singleton has a touchdown catch already. And to me, that's a dimension that gives Drew Allar more to work with as a quarterback, Phil.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to love Andy Kolnicki, the offensive coordinator. I mean, look what's happened to Kansas's offense since he left. They're averaging over 100 yards per game less than they averaged last year. This guy is a brilliant play caller. He'll be a head coach in no time.
Don't tell the Penn State fans that just yet. You'll send them into panic with that statement.
Sorry.
I want you to be honest. Because, you know, it's interesting. I watched Kansas play twice. I know I'm deviating into the Kansas thing for a second. But I definitely watched the Illinois game because Penn State's playing Illinois on the horizon. I felt like the last two times I watched Kansas, they lost the game. It wasn't that the other team won. The Kansas lost. And that to me, teams win games, but they lost both those games.
Yeah, I would agree, especially the interception before the half against UNLV, because they were in complete control of the game. Yes. They're up, 17-6? They've got the ball. It's just before the half, and the one thing you couldn't do is throw an interception and have it returned. And then UNLV scores on a muddled-up play where they took way too much time to run it and ended up being the last play of the half, and they score a touchdown off of it. And that's been the key. Jalen Daniels this year has already thrown 6 interceptions. Now, we know Jalen Daniels is an electrifying quarterback, an electrifying runner, dangerous playmaker, but you can't throw 6 interceptions and win football games, and that's really been the key. But I'll tell you, when I talked to Coach Bielema in the spring, after spring practice was over, and we were talking about the Kansas game, I said, Coach, man, Kansas really destroyed you last year. What are you going to do against him? He's like, Phil, do you remember the Virginia game 2 years ago or 3 years ago? And he said, we got destroyed on the road, which they did, and then they got him at home, and they beat him. Same thing happened with Kansas. So hats off to Coach Bielema for setting me straight on that.
Yeah, that was, you know, and Brett's a good coach. We know that. Oklahoma-Tennessee. Oklahoma's first ever SEC game. Tennessee's been rolling. Everyone thinks they look like a powerhouse to this point. What's your thought on that game?
You know, I'm going against the grain here, Steve. I just read something that said 89% of the bets this week have been on Tennessee. 93% of the money is on Tennessee. Hardly anybody's betting on Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And if you watch these two teams so far this year, I mean, my average game grade, which tells you how the teams are playing this year, takes no starting grade off, has Tennessee the number one team in the country, 133.8. It's only got Oklahoma the number 35 team in the country. I mean, they needed 2 late scores to get past Temple, 51-3, didn't even have 400 yards offense, got outgained by Houston. We're leading Tulane by 5 points in the fourth quarter, and Tulane had the ball twice. They haven't looked good, but it's at home, it's at night, and Tennessee struggles on the road. They've actually lost 5 of their last 6 true road games. They also struggle when they can't run the ball. Last year, all 4 losses happened when they did not top 150 yards on the ground, and Oklahoma's got a really good defense and a really good rush defense. So if they can make Tennessee play one-handed, just throwing the football. This is Nico Iamaleava's first true road start, and you can't get a more hostile environment. It's probably the biggest home game Oklahoma's had in years. I'm actually going with Oklahoma in this one to go way against the grain.
If they can, if Oklahoma can do a good job on Dylan Sampson, the running back for Tennessee, I'm with you that they can do it, because Jackson Arnold, who, by the way, not only is leading them in passing, he's actually the leading rusher, too, to this point. If he plays mistake-free football, Oklahoma's got a real shot, in my opinion. How do you view that?
Yeah, I would agree. It definitely has to be mistake-free, because I think Tennessee does have the advantage at the line of scrimmage, which concerns me a little bit. You look at Oklahoma's offensive line, brand new, haven't played up to their level yet, but they're getting better. Tennessee's got one of the best offensive lines in the country. Defensive line, Tennessee's got one of the best defensive lines in the country. But their back seven is vulnerable. They have a brand new secondary, and they haven't really been tested so far this year. I mean, Chattanooga, Kent State, and an NC State team that was down their quarterback. So I think when you look at this matchup, I think Jackson Arnold could have a big game, but he's got to play mistake-free. You hit it right on the head, Steve.
Utah-Oklahoma State's a really good game, too, by the way. That's another, to me, under-the-radar game that's terrific. I think Georgia Tech-Louisville is another really great under-the-radar game in terms of matchup. Is there anybody to this point in the small sample size we have that you think is a little bit better than you thought they might be? Is there somebody that hasn't quite met standard that you thought they might be?
Well, not Met standards. That one's a slam dunk. I'm going to go with Florida State and Florida. I mean,
right,
those
on.
Two teams have looked absolutely awful so far this year. Florida State being 0-3 right now heading into the year is pretty shocking. USC, I think, has played above what I expected coming into the year, especially with the impressive game against LSU. But they've got, as you mentioned, a brief sample size. We'll see how they do in the Big House. But I do want to talk about that Georgia Tech game for a minute, because there's just an amazing stat runs through my mind, Steve, and that is Brent Key, as the head coach of Georgia Tech, has taken on 5 ranked ACC teams. Now, the fact he's 5-0 against the spread is not amazing, because that happens. Teams can go that. But he's 5-0 straight up, and almost every single game he was a 3-touchdown underdog. So here they are, a double-digit underdog against Louisville on the road, and the game they lost this year, guess who was favored? Georgia Tech, and Georgia Tech was the ranked team. So whenever Brent Key has a game, go against the ranked team. I'm going with Georgia Tech in a possible upset there.
And it doesn't hurt that Haynes King is off to a good start. He's a +5 on touchdown to interceptions right now. I mean, he takes good care of the ball, and he's not bad running it either.
Yeah, and they also have Jamal Haynes in the backfield.
Yes.
So, you know, you can't just look at Haynes King running the football or throwing. But the one big difference with Haynes King this year, as opposed to last year he had 16 interceptions. Yeah. But if you watch Georgia Tech and you look at their last 6 games last year, those were the games where King really improved on the interception ratio, and that's when Georgia Tech became dangerous. And so far this year, 6 touchdowns, just 1 interception.
One last one, that is Georgia, which every year seems to have that sleepwalk game. 2 years ago at Missouri, last year Auburn, even South Carolina at a point last year. They win this game 13-12. Let's be honest here. I mean, I think anybody thinks that every SEC team is awesome and incredible. Kentucky's average, all right? They won the game. Should there be concerns?
Yeah, there definitely should be concerns with Georgia. Now, as you mentioned, they have struggled in the past on the road in that first road game, and they've got some team named Alabama coming on deck where they have to play them on the road. They also have to play Texas on the road and Ole Miss on the road.
Yeah,
I think they clearly will drop at least one of those games this year. But, you know, the thing that jumped out to me with the Georgia-Kentucky game was South Carolina's got a really good defensive line, because Kentucky couldn't do a damn thing on offense against South Carolina. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't protect the quarterback. Every time he stepped back, he had players in his face. And Georgia, now they were down a couple of defensive linemen for the game, but Georgia's got the best depth in the country. They go 3 deep at every single position. So I expected their defensive line to just overwhelm Kentucky, and they did not. Kentucky actually ran the ball for 170 yards. They only allowed 3 sacks. That would be a concern of mine, the fact that Georgia's defensive front did not dominate that Kentucky offensive line, which got blown away by South Carolina.
Tom Allen, Penn State's defensive coordinator, says, Steve, I love coaching ball. Well, guess what? I love talking ball with Phil Steele. Phil, thank you so much. I appreciate the valuable time. Hope everything's going well for you all the way through, and we appreciate the fact you gave us time today.
Hey, thank you, Steve. Always a pleasure talking to you, my friend, and good that we could finally do it during the football season.
We will do it again. How about that?
That sounds good, Steve. I look forward to that and appreciate your insights at Penn State football that I always get from you.
Hey, Phil, my pleasure. You're the best.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Phil Steele, best in the business. Incredible. All right. We'll take a break. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. From Sunbury Motors Hyundai, you'll be busting through the snow this winter with these incredible all-wheel drive savings. Lease a third-row seat all-wheel drive Santa Fe for only $450 a month for 36 months. Choose a 2024 all-wheel drive Sonata for only $29,674. Or a 2025 all-wheel drive Kona for just $28,968. Looking for a compact truck? Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 17 Santa Cruzes in stock with savings up to $17,74. Remember, all new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles.
We're not done.
Lease an 80
MPG Hyundai Tucson plug-in hybrid for only $465 a month for 36 months. Sunbury Motors has 53 Tucsons available. Hard to believe it, but winter is just around the corner. And now is the time to save big money on your next new all-wheel drive Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
36-month leases are 10,000 miles a year with $4,000 down. See dealer for details.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.